Today's scripture comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers constantly, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters beloved by God, that he has chosen you, because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. Just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy from the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For they report about us for what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. And from the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 32 and 33. The hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each one to his own home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I have said this to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you face persecution, but take courage. I have conquered the world. This is the word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
There was a man that was in a rut in his job. And his boss spoke to him one night and said, I have this opportunity overseas there that I'd like for you to take. Well, things hadn't been going well to him. Many of the things that he was doing were just a dead end. And he thought, man, what an opportunity. I'll take it. I'll snap at it. Because he had confidence in his boss. He had utmost confidence, and so he decided to go. Now, he prepared for passage across the sea and to this new country that he was going to. He heads to the first town, first one off the boat, and his partner traveling with him, and he thought, I'm going to create a new market here. Things are going to be great. Well, it started out pretty good, but the competition was stiff. One of the competitors one night had him beat and put in jail. Well, he called his boss. And his boss told him that, in the middle of the night, he arranges for a release. But he was released the next morning, and they chased him out of town. So what did he do? Well, he decided to go on to the next town. He would go on to his other city and see what happened there. Well, started out pretty good, but same thing happened. He had to leave. So they weren't going to quit. They were determined. So they went to the third city, and they had the same result. They were chased out of town. Very few took on to the idea that he was trying to establish. In the fourth city, as new ideas were mocked, and there were very few that would really go along with him, but now he was wondering, what's going on? Where was that grace promise of opportunity? What's going on here? And he and his partner talked about it. Nevertheless, they went on to the fifth city. Again, after a promising start, there it happened again. The competition stirred up trouble. And the man was getting discouraged. But that night, his boss spoke to him. And he said, "Don't be afraid, Paul. Don't let them silence you. Speak boldly. For I have many people in this city. I will be with you. Therefore, no one will be able to attack or harm you." Acts 18, verses 9 through 10. Of course, by now, you know I'm talking about the Apostle Paul and his journey. As you can see in his travels through in Acts in Asia Minor, he wanted to go off in several new areas. And as we read about that, God told him no. And God spoke to him, and then he received this Macedonian vision to cross the sea. That was northern Turkey, cross over into Macedonia. And the five cities that was spoken about there, the five cities he went to Philippi, Thessalonica. He went to Berea, Athens, and finally Corinth. And by the time the uprising against him in Corinth, he had been beaten, he had been mocked, he had been in jail, and he had been hunted, and he'd been chased. So if anyone had a right to be discouraged, the Apostle Paul, he really had it. But the words of the Lord came to encourage Paul, and it came at the right time. You know, it's kind of unique how God will speak to us in the right time. But the trouble is, our hearts are going to be open, and our ears are going to be open and able to listen to what he's saying to us. Well, Paul was able to listen at that right moment. And the mission did not depend on Paul's abilities. It really rather depended upon God's plan and the sovereign strength that God's power worked through him. See, the strength of God would be demonstrated not in Paul's positive assets, not in his strength and not in his wisdom, but rather in his weakness. God did not call Paul to fail. He did not call him, but he called him to succeed. And that is true with each of us. That is true with this church, and it's true with every church. God calls us, but he uses our strengths, but he also uses our weaknesses to learn by, to strengthen us, to encourage us. And God calls us to succeed in our lives and in his plans. Paul had not been able to establish any work in those cities that he had set out to do, but he had planted the seed. He had planted the seed for him. And then he sent, like in Philippi, he sent Luke and left him behind that he would strengthen the work. And then he had concern for Thessalonica. He had a concern, and so therefore, he sent Timothy back to salvage the mission. Now, you probably wonder what was Paul going on. Paul probably expected a dismal report from him, but that's not what he received. As we find out in 1 Thessalonians, he had a positive report. It was encouraging. Again, the success of God's work does not depend upon us. Although God's grace, he calls us to join him in his work. Remember that. God calls us to join him in his work. When we accept the salvation of Jesus Christ in our hearts, when we accept that love, he expects us not to just sit back and do nothing, like some of the Thessalonians did. He expects us to move forward. The success of God's work doesn't always depend upon us, although by God's grace, he calls us to work with him. So he uses what he has blessed us with to get his work completed. Paul, we know that the good report letter in the epistle First Thessalonians was very encouraging to Paul. But Paul was probably double encouraged and strengthened by the word, the positive word that was coming, that the church was growing, that positive things were going on. And see, Paul was so excited about it that, and thankful that Paul wrote a paper along with Silas and Timothy to the church in Thessalonica, to the Thessalonians of that church that was growing. He wrote positive things to them, encouraging me. It was good to see and good to hear what was going on. See, Paul the encouraged became the encourager, just like we need to be the encourager. He knew several trials that the church was undergoing in his forced absence, and he wanted to encourage the believers, and he wanted to encourage them along the way. And see, we need to encourage one another and not be discouragers. I tell you, too many times we allow negative things and grumbling to come into our lives, in our homes and in our churches and in society in general, that it's not enough positive, there's too much negative. We need to be encouragers with one another. As Paul was encouraging, the two of my favorite books in the Bible is 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. One has 5 chapters, one has 3 chapters, but they are positive, uplifting, and they're really, every Christian should read those. Encouraging. Of course, I have some others too that I like, but those are encouraging. Paul had a lot to do already in Corinth. And think about this. If you were in Thessalonica and you got this letter from Paul, your church is going out, and you know that he had so much on his plate already because he was sending Luke to Philippi, and he had Berea, and there he was active in Corinth, and he's already been beaten, he'd been in jail, but he took time to encourage them. And he did that through the scripture, through his writings, to encourage them all alone and build them up. And that's what we need to one another. There was no reason to doubt what they both heard and experienced. The church had suffered under the hand of the early rulers, and the powers, they needed to be reminded of the positive thing. And I want to remind you this morning of God's love for you, the strength and encouragement of God. Not doubt, but positive. See, anything is possible with God. And we are not promised an easy road in life's journey. We are promised a life's journey, but we are promised a heavenly home. And God's love is there for us through the salvation of Jesus Christ and what is in store for us. And God means for us to be encouragers, not discouragers, and not grumbling all the time. And sometimes we grumble when we don't know the facts and we don't know what's going on. One of the problems of society, there's not enough prayer or not enough Jesus Christ in their lives in order to fix the problems. There's not enough encouragement. We need positive things, not negative things, to tear us down. Amen? We can say amen. It's all right because God's Spirit moves and He wants us to be happy and encouragers. I done got off my sermon, but that's okay. But you listen to God's Spirit and God's Word to lead us, just like Paul did. Man, anybody that could be discouraged would be Paul with what he went through. And that wasn't the first time he was in jail. Think about when he was sitting in Rome and what he wrote there. He was encouraging and lifting up. And he was telling us that you have to stand firm in your faith. You know, a faith worth dying for is a faith worthy to live by. And that's what we should do, be living by our faith, encouraging one another, loving one another, building up and not tearing down. And when that happens, it becomes a contagious faith. And when that happens, you see the action. You see God moving. You see people moving. You see positive things. And we're happy instead of broken down. We are encouraged. And we smile. We smile and make people wonder what we're up to. And we go on life's journey. Life is a blessing that God has blessed us with. And life's journey is one that should look for the joy that we have and not grumble about everything that comes along. Now listen, if it wasn't for the bad days we had, we'd never appreciate the good days. Isn't that right? And we need to look for the good days. I'm looking for the good day. But you know what? Every day you get up is a good day because God has blessed you with life one more day on your life's journey. And Paul emphasized the glory and the strength that comes from our Lord and Savior along our life's journey. Shouldn't we be encouragers instead of discouragers? In times of discouragement, it's always good for Christians to do what? To pray and to be reminded of whose they are and where they're going. We have a promise of a heavenly home, and I firmly believe in it. Do you? Do you? Paul realized that correction is important, and it is an important component. And he did correct the Thessalonians because some of them got off track. He praised them, but he gave correction. And we do have things that in our lives that cause stumbling blocks, but we need to encourage one another to get over. We need to hold each other accountable. We hold each other accountable just as God holds us accountable, accountable as Christians for our concern for one another. And encourage one another. Paul encouraged the people in Thessalonica from where they had come, from where they were going to go, and continued them to be encouraged on their journey as they move forward. Paul learned hope, faith through the trials of his discouragement, and we do too. See, it's that learning process in our lives. And we're not perfect, and life is not going to be perfect. We're going to have trials. But I tell you, those trials are a whole lot easier when we have the love of God in our heart, and we trust in Him, and we are encouraged by the Holy Word that we study, and we pray, and we pray. If we were only to remember that the battle belongs to the Lord, and the victory over the trials is by our weakness in the face of God's strength, then our discouragement will become encouragement. Encouragement for us and for others. Now, David, he didn't have a lot of support sometime, but if you read the Psalms, you know that he prayed. And matter of fact, he encouraged himself. And of course, he has someone to correct him when he made several bad mistakes, didn't he? And let's look at Jesus. What did Jesus teach the disciples? He taught his disciples to be upbeat, to be confident, to be strong in the power of our Heavenly Father. In John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You know, the Lord Jesus gave us his Holy Spirit to make us victorious over strife and over trials. I'm encouraged by that, are you? Are you encouraged by the Spirit? Jesus showed his disciples how to overcome through prayer. Because he says in Matthew 26, verse 41, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. And Jesus knows it's impossible to overcome all problems without empowerment of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that God sends. In John 14, verses 26 and 27, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." The Lord has given great power through his strength, through his wisdom, enabling the Holy Spirit to abide with us. And Jesus knew the biggest enemy that comes in human nature is the human aspect itself. We are human. And in our human nature, it is a sinful human nature. But Mark, in Mark 7, 20, 21, Jesus says, "It is not what is on the outside of a man that defiles him, but what comes out of his heart. Evil thoughts, immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly." The Lord will help you lead it through it, just like he promised would in Romans, the 8th chapter. That's another good chapter to read. Jesus knew that all men needed to fear God for overcoming, but it's a reverent fear, not a trembling fear. It's a reverent fear of the Lord to be encouragers. Who shall separate us from the Lord? Who should separate us? Well, Satan will try to get in the way. And we can't be afraid. He said in Matthew 10, 28, "Do not be afraid of those who will kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear the one who can destroy both soul and body." He's talking what? About Satan tearing us down and defeating us and causing us to be discouraged. We need to be encouraged, encouraged. And he knew that what Paul was going to write in the 8th chapter of Romans, that who shall separate us from the love of Christ, shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, your sake, we face all day long. We are considered the sheep to be slaughtered. Not in all these things we are moved more than conquerors through him who loved us. And we get to encouragement that comes. And of course, I know Jesus probably knew about the encouragement that God gave Joshua when he said, "Be strong and courageous, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." There are so many more scriptures I could share this morning with you about encouragement, but I want to encourage you. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ right now and have him in your heart, man, get it, because your troubles will look different. Your mornings will look different. And I think one of the problems that we have, we don't have enough time on our knees. We don't spend enough time on our knees praying anymore. And society needs to get on its knees, praise to God. And the altars in churches are meant to be used. They're meant to be used to pray for things, pray for churches, pray for each other, pray for healing, pray for a change in us and move forward in unity. We are not to judge, but we are to be what? Unity. We are supposed to be brothers and sisters in Christ to support one another along life's journey. And if we can't do that, then there's a fallacy in our own being and in our own faith. We've got to have a strong faith to encourage one another, stand up for one another, and speak the word of God without fear. Amen? Amen. Get excited, one another. We can get excited about football games. We can get excited that UT is about to start in 10 Saturdays. We will talk about that. Now, I'm a Hokie. Now, if you didn't know, I'm a Hokie and a Blue Devil. So I'm a Hokie Blue Devil who lives in a volunteer state. But listen, all things work together to the good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Are you called to his purpose? Get excited. Trust in God. And let's talk about him. Let's spend more time talking about the love of God in our life. What Jesus Christ has done. He loved us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross that we might have everlasting life. That is a promise and a hope that we have. That's encouraging, not discouraging. That's encouraging where our hope is. And it's not going to be perfect on our life journey. But it is a journey worthwhile living when we have God with us and the love of Jesus Christ and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. It's all right to say amen. I know I can't jump like I used to. But I still get excited. Praise God for his love. Praise God for what he's doing for us. And if you don't know him before you leave here today. If you got troubles, man, lay them on the altar. God will take care of it. He loves you. That's encouraging to know that we're not alone. Let us pray. Oh God, our eternal God, you are our rock. You are our firm foundation for everything we build. With everything in our lives, your gifts for your people and good in this church, we ask for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon us. We're outpouring the encouragement that you may train your people, train us to be what you'd want us to be, Lord. Let us be as Paul, not discouragers, but encouragers. May we encourage each other in the knowledge of the love and the mercy and the grace of our Heavenly Father. May you be with us and touch our hearts. Hear our prayers and our needs. Increase our faith. Bless this church as we go forth in unity as one with you, one with the Father, one with the Son, and one with the Holy Spirit. In thy precious name we pray today. And give you thanks and honor and praise. Amen.